All right, how's everybody doing tonight? Good, good. I told the preacher I'd just play one. I may try to sing one, and we'll see. We've been sick the last several days, but if we get to squeaking, we'll just stop. How about that? How many remember the old song you grew up with as a child? Jesus loves me. Aren't you glad he loves you? Aren't you glad we can know that he loves us? Amen. In a world of uncertainty, we have the certainty that we have a God that loves us. And listen to word. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Ones to him belong. There are we called, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus, he loves me. Yes, Jesus, he loves me. Yes, Jesus, he loves me. Tells me so. Oh, how he loves you you, and oh how he loves me, and oh how he loves you and me. Oh how he loves you. I think you already know. I know your pastor has told you already, and the preachers, no doubt, who have been here thus far, and thank God for the good report of the meeting thus far. But this is not something that we ought to take for granted, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a lot of places in this world that we're living in that would love to be able to come to a meeting such as this, in a nice building with cushioned pews, and be able to worship the Lord in spirit of truth. And there's still places right now in our world where if they're to worship together, they have to do it underground. Yes, and so to be able to come to a place like this without fear is a blessing in itself, isn't it? Yes. It sure is. How many are already wondering what you have in your hand? You know what it is. I'm sorry to report to you that Brother Albert, and I love him to death, I love him, but he did tell you quite wrong. Just imagine it being there would be wonderful. But how many have your Bibles? Turn to the book of Philippians, please.
Is this where we're supposed to come
in? Yeah, that'll be fine, ma'am. You help yourself. By the way, am I on? I am on. All right, the book of Philippians, chapter number one. We're trying to be mindful of the time and pray that God will help us in a powerful, powerful way. Glad we have a book we can turn to and know that every word is true. This does not contain the Word of God, but it is the very Word of God. And I'm glad for that. I want you to look at chapter number one. And if you would please, I want you to look at verse number 21. And we're going to read down through verse 27. The Apostle Paul is writing, and I've told my church before, every Bible character is a blessing. But I love studying after Paul. I wish I could be just a portion of the man that Paul was. But Paul was not without problems. Paul was not without weaknesses. And Paul certainly was not without battles. But yet how God used him mightily for His honor and His glory. Look what he says in verse number 21. Boy, what a testimony this is. He writes, For to me to live is Christ. Well, that's a lot of preaching right there, isn't it? He said, I am speaking on a personal level. For to me to live is Christ. But look how he closes that verse. And to die is what? Well, what a powerful thing. The child of God, it's already been said, I believe in the prayer room, we're on the winning side. For the child of God, the best is yet to come, isn't it? Look at the next verse. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Look at verse 27. That's where we draw our text from. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I believe that bear us reading again, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. Now notice this clause. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. May I ask you, and it is a blessing to see this banner overhead, isn't it? 50 years as a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. Thank God for the history here. Thank God for what has taken place in the past 50 years in this place. We do not know when the Lord is coming back for any of us, and certainly we don't know the Lord could come back for all of us tonight. And wouldn't that be a grand thing? That wouldn't be a bad thing. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be something, celebrating Jubilee and the Lord call us home? Wouldn't that be something, preacher? What a blessing. But let me ask you something. Of all the blessings that's taken place in this place in the past 50 years, if the Lord does not come in the next short while. If it in his divine will, there's a period of time yet before his coming, what will happen in this place? What will happen for God's honor and God's glory in this local church? Thank God for the 50 years of the past. And we can celebrate the past, but we must have our eyes on the present as well as the future. And I notice in my Bible, and I have underlined striving together. If anything is to be accomplished for God's honor and God's glory, and as I said to our church and said everywhere I preach, it's not about you, it's not about the preacher, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. If anything is to get done, it's all about Him, dear sir, ma'am. But if it's going to be accomplished, it's got to be together. It's got to be together. You notice that word striving in the text. Do you realize what that word means? Literally, the definition of the word striving means to wrestle in company with. It also means to labor together. To wrestle in company with. Not against, but in company with one another.
Amen.
For a common goal, a common purpose. And we're to labor together in the Lord. I want you to give you a couple of things very hurriedly by way of introduction. I want you to notice, first of all, in that subject, striving together. And I want you to keep that in your heart and mind as we're preaching. Oh, we're to work together, aren't we, for the glory of God. But in knowing we ought to work together, there is a painful assessment that we must make. Does not matter if it's in this church, Brother Albert's church, or the church that I pastor there in South Boston. We all have the same issue. We have a devil we're fighting, but we have a same issue in every local church, I believe it is, and that is the fact that there is indeed a harvest out there. We don't have to worry if there's any sinners or not. There are plenty. But the assessment we must make is that the laborers are few. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, then saith he and the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Would you not agree with me in this local church, and if you're part of another, my folk, that God is still able to do great things? Say amen. How many believe that God wants yet to do great things? God's power is not limited, but God uses people. Do you understand that? God uses people just like you and me. And God is seeking vessels in which He can work through. But yet, knowing that, we look in our churches across America and we're so busy in everything. We're working. We're just not putting our labor and our work in what matters most. Before we can get help from the Lord and understand what it means to strive together, we must first understand that we have a shortage in laborers, and we need to pray that God will touch our own hearts so that we can pray for others. I don't know all of your hearts. I know some of you here tonight. I don't know a lot of you. And you may be on fire for God. You may be out passing tracts, giving the gospel. Thank God for you. But probably in a congregation tonight, there's probably some that maybe have not yet really got in. Oh, you love God. You love your church. But really getting in to make a difference in God's field. I pray that God will touch your heart to do that tonight. There is a painful assessment, but then there's a powerful acknowledgement. Did you know the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Do you know what that word husbandry means? It means God's farm. The Bible says ye are God's husbandry. You're God's farm in which he's desiring to see fruit from. Then that verse says ye are also God's building. I read that verse and you know what stands out to me? We ought to be fruitful, am I right? We are God's farm. We should be producing. But we don't have to worry about trying to produce in our own flesh. You see, the Bible says we are laborers together with God. As we're preaching this about striving together, understand that as we work together in this church and in my church, we're not going it in our own strength. We don't have to go in our own power. We don't have to go in our own might. The power is of God. He said we're laboring with him. And when we understand that it's God's work, it's God's power, then we can rest in the fact that God will give the results. I want you to notice, we've mentioned the painful assessment. There is a powerful acknowledgement. But in order for us to strive together for the faith of the gospel, there are some things we need to do. Are you ready? Yeah. First of all, may I say, child of God, church, that there needs to be personal accountability. If we're going to strive together, we got to first make sure that we're where we need to be. Am I right? Well, praise God, this is Jubilee time, but through Jubilee, it also should be a revival, shouldn't it? In that personal accountability, we need to understand, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, church, that we have a dual citizenship. How many glad that you're an American? Say amen. Let's try that again. How many glad that you're American? Say amen. Amen. I'm glad I was born in this country. I'm glad I have my earthly citizenship down here. But I am also so much more grateful that as a little boy, about 6 years old, I heard the gospel from the time that I was born. And I bowed my head and trusted a thrice holy God and received everlasting salvation. I'm glad many years ago that I passed from death unto life. I'm glad that I was born of the Spirit of God. I'm glad that my sins were washed whiter than snow. I'm glad that my name was forever written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I became not only a temporary citizen here, but I became an eternal citizen in glory. How many believe that? I got a dual citizenship. Glad for that. Now, do we believe that? That's a little weak. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that you're saved forever and that you are in the mind of God? Your body's not there, but if I read my Bible right, we've been seen seated in the heavenlies already in Christ Jesus. In the mind of God, positionally, it's as if I was already there. Hey, how could you lose it in the mind of God? You're already seen seated in the heavenlies. All right, now let me ask you something. Do you believe it's important for us to be good citizens down here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Well, hate's not the right word, but it bothers me seeing people that they're in the land of the free and the home of the brave, that God is the one that granted this land. Say amen.
Amen.
And the way that we see the citizens act and behave even towards their own country, that bothers me. That bothers me. Thank God, I love my country. I served my country, and many of you did too. But how many believe this? You have a citizenship that is far more important and worthy of our representation, and that's in glory. We lose sight, ladies and gentlemen. We understand that we're going to heaven, and we are. But while we're down here, we're representing our homeland. Do you know the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ? We are citizens of that heavenly country. And church, while we're here, if the Lord comes back for us tonight, great. But if he tarries his coming for us, we need to understand that we are representing our homeland. Let's do a good job of it. Amen. Can you get any help and strive together? We must understand that we have a dual citizenship. Did you know, and look at your Bible again, verse number 27. Do you see that word conversation? Do you see that word? Do you know what that word means? It does not mean what we speak, and many times in the Bible that's what it means. But literally speaking right here, it means the conduct of citizens who seek, now notice this, who seek the credit, the safety, and the prosperity of their city.
Come on.
Did you let that sink in? So while we are down here, we are citizens of another country, and the Bible says that our conversation, in other words, we ought to be seeking the welfare of that city. We ought to be seeking the prosperity of that city. We ought to be seeking the credit to whom it's due of that heavenly city. Now let me ask you something. Look at that verse again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Do you see that? We understood what conversation means, right? But let that sink in for a little while. Let your conversation be as it becometh. That means as it's fitting, as it's right, as it's comely of the gospel of Christ. Again, let me ask you, are you looking forward to going to heaven? Say amen.
Amen.
But we're not there yet. We're still physically down here. Can I ask you something, church? This goes for this preacher all the way down to the back. Is our conversation, is our walk, is our mode of behavior, is it comely? Does it make the gospel of Christ beautiful? Now I want you to think real quick, and I got to move on, but I want you to hang with me. I want you to think something about the gospel of Christ. Does not the gospel of Christ involve great love? For God so loved the world. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm glad I'm one of those whosoever's. I'm glad that if there was no one else on planet Earth, and I was the only sinner, oh my word of hell, I believe with all my heart, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ would have left the portals of glory and would have died for a sinner just like me. Are you ready? Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ involves great love, infinite love. Am I right?
Amen.
Is our walk demonstrating
That's good.
Great love?
That's good.
It's all right if I come down here, isn't it? I know this never happens at Faith Baptist Church. I'm grateful for that. It probably only happens at True Light, but thank God it never happens at Brother Albert's. Nobody. Everybody is always in the most loving of attitude. Come in and everybody is glorifying God and seeking to help one another. Coming in, and I'm sure of this. I am sure of this, that you come into Faith Baptist Church and you come into Brother Donald's, Brother, I love you, and if you need anything, I've been praying for you. I'll help you any way I can. And mean, I know that goes on all the time. And I know that it always goes on, that the people on this side's always loving the people on this side, and there's never any unkind words. There's never any bitterness. I know that's the case. It never, ever happens. But do you realize every once in a while in the local church that Christians can get their wires crossed up?
Sure.
And they're not exactly demonstrating the great love that becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Or you come in sometimes and you ask someone, I told our church there's sometimes I don't ask people how they're doing. Because I'm afraid they're going to tell me. There's times I said, how are you doing? I said, that's great. Before they get a chance. What am I saying? I am saying that we're, how can we, sir, ma'am, how can we in this year of jubilee for this church, how can we go forward and strive together collectively when our own hearts are bitter towards other people?
That's right.
And unkind words. The gospel involves great love, bitter, acid tongue, unforgiving. Oh my goodness, in some places there's people in the church that haven't spoke to one another in ages and ages. And we wonder why the power of God is not present. And we wonder why souls aren't being saved. We wonder why there's a suppression of what God is wanting to do. Sir, ma'am, it is not God's fault, but it is our own hearts. Our lives, our conversation does not become the gospel of Christ because the gospel involves great love.
Yes.
It involves great sacrifice, Brother Albert. How many believe that Jesus Christ suffered unfathomably for you and me? Boy, you study Psalm 22. And it'll tear, if you have the Spirit of God within you and you meditate on Psalm 22, it'll tear you up when you understand. When you get just a glimpse of how Christ suffered. As he looks down, he says, I may tell all my bones, they stare at me. Can you imagine the precious Savior as he is so parched there at Calvary that his tongue is literally cleaving to the roof of his mouth? Can you imagine our precious Savior where the Bible says that his visage was marred? In other words, brother, I absolutely believe that if people did not know who he was, they would not have been able to recognize him because of the battering that he took from us. How many believe the gospel involves great sacrifice?
Yes.
But let's let it hit home. How little are we as God's people willing to do any sacrifice? We won't lift up our hands to help anybody. Oh my God, we want to see God move, don't we? Oh, you talk about someone, you talk to your people, and you beg Christians to just give, just sacrifice. We're not just talking about finance, we're talking about themselves. And we are, we're so busy. We're so busy in 2015 that we've got no time to sacrifice a little for the cause of Christ. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. It involves great love. It involves great sacrifice. But I like this. It involves great victory. How many believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did, by his own power, he said, it is finished. And the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. No man could take his life. He breathed out his life willingly. But what happened? Oh, the devil may have thought that that ended it all. But on that third and glorious morning, something happened. And never happened before and will never happen like that since. Up from the grave he rose. And he rose in power over death, hell, and the grave. Then let me ask you this. If the gospel of Jesus Christ involves sacrifice, it involves great love, but it involves great victory, why do we live in such a defeated state?
Come on.
We all have bad days, don't we?
Absolutely.
But you know, there's a lot of Christians that act like they're just having a bad life.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been blessed. Thank God I have been blessed. I like that song. I have been blessed. We played that during my daughter's graduation just a couple of weeks ago. I am blessed. Oh, thank God he gave me everlasting life. Thank God he gave me a good wife and a good family. Thank God he called me into the ministry. Thank God he provided a roof over my head. He's provided shoes on my feet. He's provided a meal for me every day of my life. I'm telling you, God has been good. And though there's times that we fight discouragement, we can still live a life of victory. And the world needs to see that we're glad that we're saved.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so sad to see that the world is seeing people that they say they know God, and they look at us and look at our spirits and they say, if that's what it does for you, I don't need it.
Come on, preacher. Yeah.
There must be personal accountability. Let me give you this hurriedly. If we're to strive together for the faith of the gospel, and again, that is the thing. It's all about Him. It's all about doing His work while we're here. It needs to be personal accountability, but there must be passionate agreement. You got your Bible? Look at that verse again quickly. Only let it be your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come or see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. You see that? You stand fast. You know what that means? It means to stay put. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that God wants to do something here? Certainly He does. We must be personally accountable, but we must work together and we must determine that we're going to stay on one course. Hey, we was talking about this coming down the road. I promise you, I'm trying to preach as quick as I can. Listen to me closely, ladies and gentlemen. I am still a believer firmly in the old paths. I know we're living in 2015, but I do not believe for one minute that we've got to emulate or copy the world to try to get God's work done. I believe if you bring the world in, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have the world. I still believe that we need to be on the right course, and the course is following the Lord Jesus. The course is not to follow the trends of society. It's not to follow what the church down the road is doing. But if you got a Bible and I've got a Bible, we're going to be following Him. And you want to know what? In the next year and a year after that, a year after that, if the Lord does not come back for us, we as this church and my church, we need to determine we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stay on the right course. We're not going to lean to the left or to the right. We're going to look to Him and follow Him. You're going to strive together. You got to determine we're going to be on the same path together. We need to have one course, but in that verse it talks about one spirit. How many believe we had the Spirit of the living God in us? I'm glad for that. I'm glad He is the protector. He is the sealer. He is the comforter. We can go on and on. Thank God for Him. But I don't believe right here that's talking about the Holy Spirit, though He's living within us. He's talking about our spirit. We need to be on the same course. But we need to have the same Spirit. Let me ask you, you're here at Faith Baptist Church. Praise God for that. What's your purpose? What's your desire for this church? What do you really want to see God do? Do you come in with a sweet spirit? I know coming in, especially on Wednesday nights, that people are tired. I do. I understand that. But do you come in each and every time the doors open and looking for God to do something? Do you come in seeking to be a blessing? Boy, and it's so sweet when you see a church that's fellowshipping one together. Not only the same course, but they got the same spirit. Yeah. You know who's going to give us the same spirit? That's our attitude. If we're walking in the Spirit, we'll have the right spirit. Amen. Let me ask you, as a church, do we want to strive together for the faith of the gospel? We need to be on the right course, the same course, following Him. We need to have the same spirit. Look at the rest of it. Not on the same spirit, but we need also have the same mind. What's your goals here for this year? What's your plan? Are you determined to go forward? Are you content with just staying where you are? Or do you have the mindset that I really don't care if we go back?
Come on now.
Let me share this with you quickly. How many's got you? This right here. I want you to picture very quickly, that's a picture of me. We're all just flesh, aren't we? Just earthen vessels. Don't have any strength in myself. You know what I found out about myself? When I'm all by myself and trying to live my life in my own power, maybe my spirit's not right, maybe I'm not wanting to really work with the brethren. I mean, just me. Don't take much to break me. How many Christians try to live life on their own, apart from the local church, apart from a loving pastor? Don't take much for the devil to tear us apart.
Right.
Every single one of us, preacher. But I want you to picture this real quick. We're talking about striving together. In our own, we're so weak. In our own, we're so prone to fail. In our own, we trip up so often. We can't get much done on our own. The devil beats us about. We get so discouraged. But what if one who is weak has the same heart and mind of another who's weak just like them? Maybe another in this church who's so weak on their own, but they say, you know what, I'm going to be of one heart and one mind. You know what I'm going to too? And on and on and on and on. Individually, we're no match for the devil. Individually, we're so weak. But united, together, bound the same course, the same mind, the same spirit, something happens. We have strength. Oh, I'm so weak, preacher. But if I have another Christian that loves Jesus like me, and I'll yoke up with him, and God will give some others that'll yoke up. We may not be much by ourselves. God get anything and bind us together. One can't do much, but a whole lot together can stand. You know what we need in our churches? We need to bind together and realize every one of us are necessary.
Amen.
Every one of us are weak. Don't think I'm too weak. God can't use it. Every one of us are flesh and blood. But when God puts us all together and we're sticked together like glue by the power of God, the storms may come and the winds may blow, but the world sees they still stand. They're still standing.
Amen.
Without me, he said, ye can do nothing. I'm glad he lives within me, but I'm glad that God's desire is to bind other believers together, sticking together, and so we can strive together for the faith of the gospel. Yes. There must be progressive activity. I've preached too long. Speaks of forward movement. How many believe, church, if we're going to strive together, wrestle together? It's together. Not against. The devil would love it. We just talked about sticking together, but the devil's doing his best to get people apart.
Yes.
Your brother, your sister is not your enemy. Your pastor is not your enemy. But we do have a common enemy. We certainly have the flesh, but we know there is the deceiver. And he is doing his best because he knows he's only got a short time. He's doing his best to wreak havoc. Now, I've said this before to our church. I want you to think about it. The devil is firing bullets at every one of you. How many believe that?
Amen.
And how many believe that he's certainly going to do his best to fire as many bullets as he can at like men like this?
Right.
And Brother Albert.
But what would happen if we realized we know he's firing bullets at us, and we're going to take on the armor of God, but instead of us just sitting here and letting him fire bullets, we're going to fire back.
Right.
Too often time, we're sitting there and taking the punches of the enemy, and we're just letting him punch and punch and punch. It's time we get the strength together in the power of the Lord, take on the armor of God, and instead of retreating, start charging forward.
Amen.
And then we need to witness effectively. Striving together for the faith of the what? Of the gospel. That word faith in the context speaks the persuasion of the gospel. You and I, we ought to collectively, individually, be given our all in the power of his might to tell others that Jesus still saves.
Amen.
Do you still believe it? Do you
still
believe he'll still save old drunks, whoremongers, religious people? He'll save them all. But he can't save them unless they hear. What are we doing? Are we striving together collectively for the faith, the persuasion of the gospel? Keep that word in mind this year, Jubilee. Together. 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 Father, thank you for allowing us to preach. Pray that it was just an encouragement to the people. Lord, may it honor and glorify you. Bless as a preacher comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Two, four.